when will the Lord come again? That is the title of my message today. And a number of people have made prophecies as to when they thought Christ would come again. For instance, a man by the name of Edgar Wisenant, who lived from 1932 to 2001. He was a former engineer with NASA, the North American Space Administration. He was also a Bible student, and he predicted that the rapture would take place in 1988. He published a book about this entitled 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988. Some people say that the book titled 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Could Be in 1988, but that's not the correct title. It is 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988. Well, as you know, it did not happen. So he put out a second book, and he said he had discovered a mistake in his first book, so he redid things and worked them out again, and the second book was entitled The Final Shout, Rapture Report, 1989. Again, as you know, it did not happen. Well, he tried twice more, 1993 and 1994. Well, same story, it did not happen. So, when will the Lord come again? The man in America by the name of Harold Camping, I presume that most of you have never heard of him. He was born in 1921, which means if he lives to his birthday this year, he'll be 90. He's a retired civil engineer, and he is head in the United States of Family Radio, a group of radio stations, Christian radio stations, with several hundred stations throughout the United States. One station was near where we lived in Philadelphia, and we used to listen to the good Christian music that they played. But when Harold Camping came on to speak, we always turned the radio off because it wasn't very edifying. Listened to him once or twice, and pretty soon we got the drift of what he was saying, and we said, we don't want to hear this man. Well, he published a book entitled 1994. Meaning, of course, that according to him, the Lord would come back in 1994. Well, Wisenant, that was his last date, and, you know, we know that did not happen. Now, in Harold Camping's latest publications, he states that a number of biblical passages point unquestionably to May 21st, 2011. Okay? He says that's the first day of the Day of Judgment. And then exactly 5 months later, on the 21st of October this year, he'll say that's the end of the world. Well, is that when the Lord will come? Wait and see. All right. And pretty soon we'll know whether he is a false prophet or not. But let's look at Mark chapter 13. Let's look what God has to say in His Word. And in the first four verses, note the inquiry there, the inquiry of the disciples. Within the setting, Jesus and His disciples leave the temple when one of the disciples makes a comment about the magnificence of this temple, second temple, temple built by Herod the Great. Solomon's temple, of course, had been destroyed, but the temple was rebuilt. And as he went out of the temple, one of the disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. This is magnificent. This is fabulous. This is wonderful. Well, says Jesus, seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And that was literally fulfilled in the year 70 A.D. when the Romans, led by their general, the later or the future emperor Titus, conquered Jerusalem. There were a fire there in Jerusalem. And what happened was the golden vessels from the temple in the fire melted. The gold ran in the cracks between the stones. Well, the fire was out. The gold solidified. But in order to get to the gold, they had to take the stones apart. And so what Jesus predicted literally came to pass. There's another one of those fulfilled prophecies that uphold the truth of the Word of God. Not one stone was left upon another because they wanted to get the gold out from between the stones. Well, it is then, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, that four of the disciples, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, asked him privately, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?" So they ask here two questions. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? In the parallel passage in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 24, there are actually three questions. But let's just pretty much look on this passage here. And beginning at verse 5, we see the explanation. We have the inquiry from the disciples. When shall all these things be fulfilled? When will it happen? When shall the Lord come again? And now Jesus gives his explanation, and that begins in verse 5 and really ends about verse 31. So that's quite an extensive section, and as I mentioned, this is usually referred to as the Olivet Discourse, because verse 3 says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him and asked him the question, and he then answered them." But Jesus begins his answer, his explanation, with a warning to watch out for false Christs. "Take heed," he says, "lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." There are still false Christs around today. One that I haven't heard much about recently, but who was mentioned quite a bit a few years ago, was a man by the name of Moon, Sun Myung Moon, the Moonies. And some of you will remember the Moonies. And Moon claimed that he was the Messiah. Moon said, "Jesus, when he was on earth, did not finish his work. I have come to finish the work that Christ started to do. I am the Messiah." Well, there is one that claims to be the Messiah. I guarantee you, he is enough. There's others. Maitreya is one. David Koresh of the Branch Davidians. Some of you may remember Waco, Texas, how David Koresh held himself up inside this building and how the U.S. Army set all the tanks in and surrounded it. It was quite a bit in the news a few years ago, and we were following some of these events. But he also claimed to be the Messiah. So Jesus warns us here, before you look into that question, watch out, because there will be deceivers saying, "I am Christ." If you go down to verse 21, you see some more here. "And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not." So there again, people claiming to be the Messiah. For, says Jesus, false Christ and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. So our Lord warns about false Christ, but he also warns about false prophets. And that would include those who set dates for the second coming of Christ when it doesn't happen. Like Wesley, like Harold Camping. 1994. Harold Camping, by the way, also was one of those that when he came to Y2K, remember that? You're all old enough to remember that. Oh, once the year 2000 comes, the planes are going to crash down, you know. They're not going to be able to keep on flying. And all the computers will all be messed up, because when they go from 99 to 00, the computers won't know what year it is. Remember that? We had a friend of ours in America whose basement of the house was filled with water bottles and food rations. She was prepared for at least, I think, a year. You know, that if she wouldn't have any food or couldn't get any shopping done, she was well supplied. She had it all. We were in her basement. We saw the stock that she had. It was huge. Well, Harold Camping was one of the ones that scared the people into doing things like that. False prophet. Our Lord warns us about these kind of things. So, he warns, as he begins to give the answer to these questions, you know, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign when all these things be fulfilled? What will be the sign of your coming again? He says, first of all, watch out. Because false Christs are going to come. False prophets are going to come. Don't let anybody deceive you. And then he goes on to explain a number of signs that will happen. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled. Don't we hear of wars and rumors of wars? Libya is probably in the news more than any other country right now. A lot of things going on there. European, you know, NATO, or NAVO, whatever you call it, not NATO, I guess it is in English. And they're all getting their troops. The Dutch have 6 planes in there, plus a refueling tanker, plus one of the ships that they have sent out there. So the Dutch are involved in that. You know, the French, the British, European Treaty Organization, all there together. And keeping Gaddafi out and enforcing this no-fly zone. So a lot of things are happening there. You hear of wars and rumors of wars. But Jesus says, be not troubled. Don't be troubled when you hear all these things. He says, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet. This is not the end yet, he warns. And he says, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be earthquakes in diverse places. Christchurch, Japan, now Myanmar, earthquakes. I read that California is due for another earthquake. Even the Dutch people are saying they're due for one. I've never known earthquakes in Holland. Seen a lot of other things in Holland, like flooding, being such a low country, but never an earthquake. Well, Jesus says, these things are going to happen. There shall be famines. There shall be troubles. And these, he says, are the beginning of sorrows. In Luke's parallel passage of the Olivet Discourse, Luke says the sea and the waves roaring. Is that a tsunami? Could be. The sea and the waves roaring. So our Lord talks about a lot of these kind of things. But he says the end is not yet. These are the beginning of sorrows. Alright? But then, there is one event that we must mention separately in Mark 13 verse 10. And the gospel must first be preached among all nations. And then let me read the parallel verse in Matthew 24 and verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. So Jesus says, watch out for the false prophets. But keep an eye out. Nations shall rise against nations. Wars and rumors of wars. These things must come to pass. The end is not yet. All these things are going to happen. But Now listen carefully. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come, or mark, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. And then shall the end come. So, here is then the answer to the question, when will the Lord come again? When will the Lord come again? The Lord will come again when the last person that he wants to be saved has been saved. Alright? Because he said the gospel must be preached, published among all nations, and then the end will come. So when the last person that he wants to be saved has been saved, then the Lord will come again. That, of course, raises another question. When will that be? All right. Because we still haven't given you any date, have we? Well, and the Lord says, last person that I want to be saved is saved, then I will come again. But we don't know when that is, do we? So we need to look at the exhortation that our Lord gives as he concludes this chapter, beginning at verse 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. So when will that be? Jesus says, of that day and that hour knoweth no man. How can Harold Camping say, I know it's going to be the 21st of May, 2011, when Jesus says, of that day and that hour knoweth no man? I say Harold Camping is a false prophet. Just as Edgar Weissman was a false prophet. 1988, didn't happen. 1989, didn't happen. 1993, didn't happen. 1994, didn't happen. And he finally just decided not to write any more books. Harold Camping, 1994, wrote a book by that title. Didn't happen. So now he's trying again. 2011. He's got a large following, by the way, in the United States. One of his followers said this. It was a girl. He said, if the 21st of May comes around and I'm still here, I know I wasn't saved. No. You were not saved. You were following a false prophet. That's the problem. So that's what Jesus says. Of that day and that hour knoweth no man. The angels don't know. The Son does not know. You say, but the Son is God, and God knows all things. Doesn't Jesus know all things? Well, the thing is this. Remember, Jesus is the God-man. As God, he knows. But as man, he does not know. Alright? You have his divine nature, we have his human nature. But in his human nature, he could feel pain. He was hungry. He was thirsty. In his human nature, there were things he did not know. In his divine nature, as God, he does know. But even the Son does not know in his human nature. So, if they don't know, how can Harold Camping and others say, we do know? 1988, by the way, there was another fellow that said, Christ was coming back in 98 with a Korean fellow. And we were in Adelaide at the time, and I had a lot of Korean students at that time. I was teaching in the Korean church, in addition to Hope Church. And the Korean students came to me very worried. Will it really happen in 1988, in October? I said, wait and see. Well, the date came, the date passed. Well, now we know. He was a false prophet. But you know, he was arrested by the police in Korea and sent to jail because he took the money that the people had given him and put it in a one-year term deposit. Well, if it was a one-year term deposit, he must have been expecting to get that money out at that point. But if Christ really had come, he wouldn't be on earth anymore. So they said, "You're in trouble, boy." And they locked him up in prison. Well, there's another one of these false prophets coming around. But, well, our Lord says that they that are knoweth no man. He does give some further indications there that would be well for us to note. Because he says, "Take ye heed," verse 33, "watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." He says, "Watch ye therefore," verse 35, "for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping." So the coming of the Lord will be sudden. He will come when it is least expected. Paul mentioned it will be like the coming of a thief in the night. Our Lord also mentioned it. The footman had the house known what time the burglar would come, the thief would come. He would have stayed up and awake and caught him. But he didn't know. We never know when the thief comes. He's not going to send you a telegram or, well, don't send telegrams these days. Send you an email and say, "Oh, just for your information, tomorrow night at 3 a.m., I'm going to come to your house to break in." He doesn't tell you that. Well, most of the burglaries happen during the daytime anyway, rather than at night. Okay. But our Lord says, you don't know when. But, he says, it will be unexpected. It will be like a thief in the night, when you least expect him to come. But as he says that, he makes something else very clear too. And that is that he will come again. That's for certain. I say that because there are some people who say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. So it says, where is the promise of his coming? And you know, I've even met people here in Perth, Christians, who say exactly that. Where is the promise of his coming? Don't preach to me on the second coming of Christ. Don't preach to me on prophecy. For where is the promise of his coming? For 2,000 years, things have been going on as they were from the beginning of the creation. Yeah. Don't bother me with that. Don't tell me about Christ coming again. I'll believe it when I see it, but not before then. Rest assured, Jesus will come again. And we must be ready. And that's something that we should settle today. The Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Not tomorrow. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow, as you know, never comes. So be ready. Watch and pray, as he says in verse 33. Watch and pray. And then in verse 37, "And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Watch, wait, pray, but watch. Be on the alert. There was a television show on the History Channel. Now, I don't know whether they have that on cable in Australia or not, because I don't have cable and I'm not interested in cable anyway. But I've seen it a few times when I was in the United States. But there was a television show program on the History Channel titled "The Man Who Predicted 9/11. It was an hour-long presentation about one man, Rick Reskorlak. And I went to the internet to look into this, and there's quite a few references to him. But long before September the 11th, Rick Reskorlak, he was a 62-year-old man, former army man, but he was head of security at the Morgan Stanley Bank. And he developed an evacuation plan for the bank. The bank's offices were situated high up in the South Tower at the World Trade Center. Now, Rescorla was convinced that Osama bin Laden would use jet planes to try and destroy the World Trade Center. Now, he had a military background. He had, no doubt, military intelligence information. And so, he was convinced that bin Laden was going to do that. Now, the plan that he made and its preparation were very unpopular with the Morgan Stanley staff. They thought he was Gila. He was mad, crazy. Yeah. All right. I'm going to show off my Chinese sometime, you know. But that's what they thought. He was really like absolutely crazy. But he made the plan, you know. And then, of course, you know what happened. September 11th, 2001. American Airlines Flight 11 hit the World Trade Center Tower number 1 at 8:46 a.m. Now, remember, he was in Tower 2. He was not in Tower 1. At that point, the building officials said, oh, it's okay to be here. You stay here. Don't worry. We met a couple in one of our Bible Presbyterian churches in the U.S. whose granddaughter worked in Tower 2. And she was told that, it's okay, go to work, go back, go up. She did. Was never seen again. So they were telling, the building officials were saying, fine, go to work, you know. But Rich Rescorla said, no. He ignored the advice to stay put, and he began the orderly evacuation of Morgan Stanley's 2,800 employees on 20 floors of World Trade Center Tower 2, and in addition there were 1,000 employees of Morgan Stanley Bank in World Trade Center Building 5. Now, Rescorla reminded everyone to be proud to be an American. Everyone will be talking about you tomorrow. He sang God Bless America and other songs over his bullhorn. And there are pictures on the internet of him with that bullhorn. And he did that to help evacuees stay calm as they left the building. And Rescorla had most of Morgan Stanley's 2,800 employees, as well as people working on other floors of World Trade Center Building 2, safely out of the building by the time that United Airlines Flight 175 hit World Trade Center Building 2 at 9:07 a.m. After having reached safety, Rescorla actually returned to the building to rescue others that were still inside. He was last seen heading up the stairs of the 10th floor of the collapsing World Trade Center Building 2. His remains were not recovered. As a result of Rescorla's actions, only 6 of Morgan Stanley's 2,800 World Trade Center employees were killed on September 11, 2001. And those 6 included Rick Rescorla, 3 of his deputies that went into the building back with him, so only 2 other people had died. Now, the remainder of this very moving broadcast focused on Morgan Stanley Bank employees, who now in tears were praising and acknowledging Rick Rescorla for saving their lives that day. Many felt so guilty and apologetic, they had thought Rick Rescorla was foolish to keep preaching and standing for what he believed would happen if they were not ready. Those interviewed said they would never forget Rick Rescorla. He was their hero. Bible theater hero? because he was prepared. Are you prepared for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? We don't know when he will come again. When will the Lord come again? I don't know. Jesus says, we don't know. Of that day and that hour knoweth no man. We don't know. But Jesus also said, take ye heed, watch, and pray. For you know not when the time is. And then he added, watch ye therefore. For you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at cockcrowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. That's our Lord. When will the Lord come again? We don't know. But we do know this. He will come again. I know. Where is the promise of his coming? A lot of people are saying that. But he will come again. Make sure that you're ready. That's the key. Be ready. Be prepared. You know, if I told you he was coming tomorrow morning, you'd very quickly try to prepare the best you knew how. If I told you he was coming tonight, you'd be even more in a hurry. I don't know when he's coming. But you know, I read about a little girl. She was in school, and her desk was the worst looking desk in school. In other words, she was a messy girl, and her desk looked terrible. And a visitor came to the school and said, I'm going to come back one day, and the person who has the neatest desk, I will give a reward. And so the girl said, oh, every Friday afternoon, I'm going to clean my desk so it'll be ready. And somebody said, well, what if he comes on another day? Oh, then I guess I'll clean it up every night after school. But what if he comes in the middle of the day? Oh, I'd better keep my desk perfectly neat every day, every moment of every day. And that's it. Every moment of every day, be ready. Be prepared, for the Lord could come at any time, at even, at midnight, at cockcrowing, in the morning. We don't know, but he will come. Be sure you are ready. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as our Lord tells us, may we all be ready for that day when he will come again. Father, I pray if there be any here in our midst tonight who have not yet come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that even right now they may confess their sins and cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, we thank you that you promise that if any come unto you, you will not cast them out, but you will receive them with open arms. And Lord, if there be any here today, may they indeed come to thee, believing, even right now. And Lord, may all of us be ready at all times, ready for the coming of our Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.